I hope I haven't made a mistake with this passage this morning either. I've been at it for 4 weeks. Okay, we're going to do something different next week. But do you want to just throw up our first screen, Mark? The reason we're coming back to this again is because we're thinking about our source of strength. Our source of strength. And Jesus touches on that here in John chapter 15, 1 to 5. There's so much in this chapter. I haven't exhausted this so much. Maybe we'll come back again another year, but we certainly will on the 1st of January 2017. We're going to come back to that again. But it's a great passage. And in John 15, Jesus talks a lot about bearing fruit, which is essentially productivity. And in the business world, that is one of their words, productivity. And it would be a big temptation to say, let's not use any business words this morning, because this is a church, and we're not in business like that. We're not out to make a profit. And yet he talks about success here. And I think that's another business word. I really do. God wants our lives to be productive and successful in ways that point to Him. And in doing so, it displays our faithfulness to one another as a church, and our faithfulness to God, and His faithfulness to us and to each other. And that's called productivity, and I think the Bible calls that success. That's a successful life. It's not the productivity that you find from Tesco where they'll say, well, this year we only managed to make 3%, and next year we're going to aim for 5%, and the next year after that, and that's productivity and that's success. But it's going in different directions. And I know those things are important because some people work down in Tesco and rely on their success in order to earn a living, to put food on the table and everything else. It's all wound up together, really. And God is just as interested in those things as many other things. And so our success, if I can use the word that God uses when he refers to Joshua in the Old Testament, shows that we can't do anything without God. And everything for me, everything I hope for you as well, flows through him to us. However, Jesus draws our attention to this important distinction between results, which is what they give at the end of the year, isn't it? You know, this year we made so much. Huh? Results and roots. Big difference. Same word. Success, productivity. Is it all about results? Or does it all go down to the roots? Is that where the source is? Sustainable success is not a well-kept secret in the Bible. It's there for us all to read. We were appointed, John chapter 15, verse 16, we were appointed, Jesus says, to bear fruit that will last for a long time. In other words, we want to bear fruit that works and wins. We want results that loves and lasts. And besides this, your success is only as strong and sustainable as your source. And for us, that's Him. That's God and His Son, Jesus Christ. And the power and presence and directive of the Holy Spirit who lives within us and gives us direction day by day. He is our source. That's where our root gets its power from. And so success means to succeed. And succession is the continuation of that success. And in e-commerce today, God is interested in that as well. But it's looking after our environment. In e-commerce today, we have phrases like sustainable farming, sustainable fishing, and sustainable energy, all of which are a great challenge to the world today. We're realizing finally that there's finite resources in this world, and we've got grandchildren and great-grandchildren and great-great-grandchildren on the way, and we've got to leave some sort of world that God created for us to pass on to them, and we have a responsibility. And God is interested in those things, and we should be interested in those things. Do you think success is a good Bible word? I know a lot of people don't think it is, but here we go. We know that God wanted Joshua to be successful in leading the children of Israel out of the wilderness into the land of promise that God had promised them over 40 years before. They'd set it on the journey. In fact, he had promised it hundreds of years before. But God said to Joshua, "You will be prosperous and successful." Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. Those are business words. But their source is different. The different roots. And someone might say, well, it depends on what kind of success you're talking about. Well, yes, it does. Of course it does. God promised Joshua that there were conditions to his promise. This is what he said: "Do not let the book of the law depart from your mouth." That's one condition. Don't let it happen. Another: meditate on it day and night. That's what the psalmist says in Psalm 1. "So that you may be careful," another condition, "be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful." All those conditions are there. And there's conditions in God's word for his promises. And I think there are really two kinds of success. There's good success and there's bad success. And the latter, I think, is one of the dilemmas that the psalmist picked up on and wrote about it on a number of occasions. He was thinking about it as well. And this is how he spoke about those who seemed to be very successful in bad ways, who people who were wicked really didn't deserve to live in this world. But this is what he says. Thanks, Mark. Psalm 73. "But as for me," speaking personally here, he says, "my feet had almost slipped. I nearly lost my foothold, for I envied the arrogant." You like arrogant people? "I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked." Why do evil people seem to live so long? How come they manage to be so successful and so wealthy? Well, that's how it seems. But there's a big difference between the success of the good and the success of the bad. And so I think that God's success is far greater than the devil's success in life. The reason why there's such a big difference is because it's not based on results. It's all about deep roots. So the people who come along and say, "Hey, look what we have done, look what we have managed to do," that really isn't important. It's not the results that matter. It's the roots from whence they came. That's what's really important for us. And so Jesus said, if the root is good, if it's holy, then so are the branches, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Only a good tree can bear good fruit because it's got good roots that go deep. And as someone once put it, I really got to get this quote right, if you have results without roots, it's possible that your talents can only take you where your character can keep you. If you have results without roots, it's possible that your talents can take you in life where your character can't, because your character is all about roots. The prodigal son was on a roll, wasn't he? He had got his inheritance early. And off he went to a far-off land, and he would spend his good money on ill-gotten gain and everything else. And he had a great time, and he had lots of friends. But then his money ran out, and when his money ran out, his source ran out. And then his friends ran away. And it took a while, but finally he returned to his roots and he returned to his father. And he said, I've been so stupid. Please forgive me. And an interesting way to look at this root of good success is through... Sorry, I've got one of these things again. I really do apologize, but maybe I don't apologize. But this is it. It's a mathematical equation. Last time I was asking Audrey to solve this equation, and well, I'm not going to ask you this time because you can't. This is one you can't do. Do you want to throw it up for us, Mark? Here's a mathematical equation. X plus 1 equals... You haven't got a clue. Nobody can answer that. Why? Because nobody knows what x equals. You're going to say to me, okay, what's x? If x was 10, you would say 11. 10 plus 1 equals 11. But we don't know what x is. And x could be anything. X could be 1, it could be 11, it could be 21, it could be 1,000,001, could be anything. And in mathematics, apparently they call that a variable. Okay? It could be anything. But the one is always going to be one. And therefore, the one is called the constant. The constant. And it's a lovely picture of what God and mankind is like. Because mankind, us, we are the variables. Isn't that right? Such a variety of people here this morning come from different backgrounds. The things you like, the things you like different from what I like. We're so different. Kind of foods we like, kind of coffee we like to brew. So different. And we've come in here this morning with so many different agendas on our mind. We are all the variables. We are the X, the variable. But there's one constant. One constant, and that is God. He is the root. He is our source. He is our constant. So the question is, what or who is your constant in life? Mark's going to throw up another slide for me. Listen to this. It's a Message translation, an expression from, it's not all here on, but from the Message translation, Romans 15, verses 4 to 6. And this is what Peterson wrote, Eugene Peterson. This was his translation. Even if it was written in Scripture long ago, you can be sure it was written for us. Written long ago. That's the constant. The Bible hasn't changed. It hasn't changed. But it was written for us today. But it was written for them long ago. And they're just as variable as we are, but the application is just as strong. Even if it was written in Scripture long ago, you can be sure it was written for us. God wants the combination of his steady, constant calling and warm personal counsel in Scripture to come to characterize us, keeping us alert for whatever he will do next. May our dependably, steady, and warmly personal God develop maturity in you so that you can get along with each other as well as Jesus gets along with us all. Then we will be a choir. Audrey would love that. Then we will be a choir, not our voices only, but our very lives singing in harmony and in stunning anthem to the God and Father of our Master Jesus Christ. Eugene Peterson, pastor in America, he wrote this. This is an incredible thing. He didn't just write this, but he wrote the whole translation of the New Testament in modern words for his congregation, so that they could understand what God's word, written centuries ago, meant to them today. I'm never going to manage to do that. If we did, we could call it the KS version. But this was a Eugene Peterson version called The Message. You can buy it in the shops and download it on your phone and everything else. But two things I want to say about way of conclusion this morning, and they are these. Just want to pick a couple of phrases from that passage. And the first is his constant calling. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. There's an old phrase around, I think I've got the gist of it. This is how it goes, or how I think it went. God will not call you to where his grace cannot keep you. His constant calling. He is the source of everything I need. He is the source of everything we need. Let me put this in story form for you. When the shepherd boy David saw the giant Goliath, he said, the same God will deliver me as he has done before. That's that sacred sameness we've been thinking about this last few weeks. The same God, here's the verse, thanks Mark, from 1 Samuel 17, one of our readings this morning. The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the paw, the hand, of this Philistine. Now, there you've got both the variable and the constant. He remembered the time when he was attacked by a lion and the paw was trying to, swiping at him, trying to kill him. God delivered him from that. And he remembered the time when the bear attacked him and God delivered him from the paw of the bear. That was another situation. And here's another one standing in front of him, this great man Goliath, and paw, he calls it a hand this time, and he will deliver me from the hand of Goliath. And so it is the same God, different circumstances all the time. God, the constant, working with the variables in our lives. The same God, just different circumstances. And our families need us to be their constant too. I think that most of us take it for granted when we were children, our parents were going to be there for us. They were going to put food on the table. They were going to do the washing up. They were going to wash our clothes and iron and everything else. They were always going to be there for us. They were our constant. And our families need us to be their constant too. Your friends need you to be their constant. People don't want friends who fluctuate. I had a few of those in my school days, and they weren't really friends. But I've had people who've been friends, I'm coming up to 61, and I've had friends all those years, and they haven't fluctuated. And God is the same. He does not change. We need that today. We need this constant in our lives. We need this root. We need this source in our lives. We need him. Everybody needs him. And we need to be that kind of church where people come along on Sunday because this is their constant. They get something here every week. And if they don't, they can give something here every week. They can help other people, or other people help them. This has got to be our constant. And I hope our fellowship is a constant that will continually help the variety of people who come here. Second thing I want to say, and with this we close, our constant character. This is where I guess we dig a little bit deeper, really. Our constant character. I think this is one of the most important things we find in the Lord Jesus Christ. He was predictably generous and loving. And it's part and parcel of his character. One of the songs that we often sing here by Matt Redman, "The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass, whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes." And a lot can happen between the sun coming up in the morning and the sun setting at night. Doesn't matter what's going to happen, we're going to be the people who sing because our God is a constant. And I believe Matt Redman got it right. Without fail, the seasons of the year are a reminder of God's constant. And I know we've had a lot of rain and not much snow, but it's still winter, still cold. And it's still the seasons of the year. And God is our provider. He is our helper. He is our strength. He is our source. And we can see him, but he is our source. We can see electricity, but we know there's a power station not far from here, belting out megawatts of energy that we appreciate. And we want God to be our source. We want to put him first in our living. We want to put him first in our giving. We want to put him first in our loving. We even want to put him first in our dying. Did Jesus die well? Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Do you remember some of the last things he said with almost his last breath? Here are a few of them. "Father, forgive them, because they don't know what they're doing." He said, "Into your hands I commit my spirit." He said, "It is finished." And with that, he breathed his last. I like to think, as a pastor, that our church is filled with good constants that promote Christian character. Let me just mention a few as we finish. We come here this morning to worship God. One of our constants. We always do that. People say, "Why do you always sing at church?" This is why, because it's one of our constants. We come to worship him. When the sun comes up, we worship him. When the day is over, we're found singing his praise. We read the Bible. We've done that today. This is God's constant to us. It doesn't change. We give of our tithes and offerings. This does not change. We preach the gospel unashamedly. This does not change. We pray together. We pray for one another. This must not change. We meet as a family of faith at 10:30 every Sunday morning. I know we can't always be here, but as there's strength within us, that's our constant. We need that. And these are all constants that help us to form Christ like character. And the Bible's book of wisdom has this to say about it. Thanks, Mark. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding." And all those who've been in caravan past years know this off by heart, of course. "In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path, he will make your path straight." He is our constant source. He is our rock. He is our foundation. He is our root that brings results. Let's pray. Our Father, we have begun this year trying to do sacred sameness. Not to do new things, but to do the old things that really work and the things that matter most. And we often struggle to get it right. I know only too well about that. But we do believe that you are our source of success. And by your grace, we can pass that on to others. That which is forever constant in life. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.